welcome to the Novel Ideas Podcast.
The Novel Ideas Podcast, a podcast with two siblings who love books.
Yeah, let me tell you, the Midwest weather, I've just buckled down, sat down, took 3 days reading Hills Like White Elephants, do nothing else.
I was going to say, we love books so much, we didn't even read one this week.
What we did this week barely even constitutes as reading.
I knew this was a short story, but short is relative. Oh, I'm Ben, by the way.
I'm Gabs. we read Hills Like White Elephants by Ernest Hemingway this week. And the last memory I have of it was reading it in a playwriting class, and our professor said, oh, let's read it as a 10-minute play. And so in my head, I was just going, oh, it's about 10 pages long. But no.
It is 3 pages long.
Yes.
It is a 2-minute read.
It's a micro story.
It is a micro story. It's like 3 good-sized tweets.
Yeah. So, we're going to approach it a little differently since we can't really talk about characters and themes and editing and all of that. I just wanted to start out with a general pondering of why do you think high school students around the globe have to read this short story? What's significant about it?
First of all, it's Hemingway, so that's, you know, people like to teach him. But it's a very rich short story, despite being so small.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot, like, every sentence has 2 meanings, pretty much, it feels like.
Yeah.
It's a good example of how you can reveal a lot about a relationship with just a few lines of dialogue, I think. It's very, like, the couple in there is very couple-y.
Yeah. That's one of the things, one of the reasons we actually read it in my class as a play is because our professor was telling us in a play, good dialogue is characters not actually saying what they mean. And this short story is almost entirely dialogue and full of characters saying stuff that they don't mean. Like, they're really talking about something else when they're talking about wanting another drink or the hills or I'm fine, which is, of course, always a loaded word.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's all true. And holy crap, I just totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I hate that.
The other thing I was going to say is that it's also an easy, short lesson in getting your students to read into a story a little bit because they don't outright say what the plot of the story is.
Yeah. Okay, so I was going to say, now I remember what I was going to say. I think the subtext of this story is fairly obvious. I think if you are accustomed to reading things carefully and interpreting things, that it's very obvious. But if you were not quite paying attention, even if you are a pretty good reader, but your attention just drifted like at the exact wrong moment, like 45 seconds into reading it, if you just kind of went, what's that noise for a second, and then came back to it, you might have no idea what was going on anymore.
Like, wait, what are they talking? I don't get it.
No, they're having a little argument. I wonder what it's over. Oh, well.
So, apparently, I don't even remember this,
mm-hmm.
but we read this in high school my senior year.
I don't remember doing that. We might have. No, I just don't remember
doing it. The only reason I remember it is because I got told a story about myself reading this in class where our teacher said, okay, you've read the story, now what's it about? And, you know, because in high school English, I was always the first person to say anything ever.
Right.
I'm like, they're arguing about having an abortion. And this person who was in the class with me remembered it because she was sitting there going, what the? Gabs doesn't know what she's talking about. There's no way this story has anything to do with abortion. What the hell? And then the teacher says, yeah, very good. And she's like, oh, shit. And that was, like, apparently a moment that stood out. So I don't even remember that ever happening, but I guess I was a good enough reader in high school to pick it up.
See, I knew that's what the story was about, and that's part of what I was doing when I was trying to read it. Was like, so if I didn't know...
Mm-hmm.
what would be the clue that would let me pick up on it?
Well, he talks about, you know, it's a procedure. It's not an operation, though. Right.
It's very simple. Just letting the air in, and then everything will be all right. And we can...
Lots of people have had it done.
Yeah, and we can live like we did before.
Yeah, and then he makes some comment, like, if you wanted to go through with it, I would stick it out with you.
Yeah.
Like, kind of talking about raising a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all very couched language.
I decided I would have figured it out today. I don't know if I would have been sitting in my senior English class figuring it out on my own. Though I think as soon as someone said it, the light bulbs all would have gone off.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
So, I was wondering when I was reading it today, if I thought that the American, when he says he would go through with it, if he really would go through with it.
I was...
Raising the kid with her.
I was thinking the same thing. So, to me, this conversation came across as, like, where the guy is kind of pressuring her in that, I'm not pressuring you, but I'm totally pressuring you kind of way. And, like, she honestly did not know yet.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's not sure she wants to keep it.
Right.
She's not really fighting that angle.
Yeah, he's pretty sure he doesn't want to keep it.
Yeah. Oh, it's no problem. Things will be fine again. But you know, it's just, I'm just concerned about you. You don't have to do anything you don't want. Like, backpedaling every time he tries to push it.
I found the American to be completely full of shit.
Yeah. And the whole, you know, I think it's a clash of personalities, too, because he wants to live this fun, easy life where they travel around and have sex and drink beer or whatever. And she seemed more invested in the relationship to me. Mm-hmm. And that she was more willing to do it because that's what he wanted, and she wanted to do something that's gonna make the relationship better. But I don't know if she realized that her doing it was, like, the only way they would stay together, because I don't think he's the sort of person who would put up with responsibility.
It sounds like he really doesn't want it.
Yeah.
And the story is too short to confirm whether he means that he would stick it out and how much he actually loves her and that kind of stuff. And I don't know, like, the more I think about this story, the more brilliantly written I think it is. I mean, Hemingway has obviously a pretty good reputation, but, I mean, I've read some of his stuff and not always been impressed.
I actually had a friend today send me a link to Hemingway's writing tips, which we both agreed we stuck our noses up at. But then I was thinking about it, and I thought, the only thing I've read by Hemingway is this short story.
Oh, wow.
I never read one of his books before.
Wow.
So, I really have no basis for comparison.
Yeah, I read A Farewell to Arms, which I mostly enjoyed, though I was a junior in high school, so God knows what I actually got out of it. And I read Old Man and the Sea as a sophomore, which the only thing I really remember about it is that I despised it. I thought it was the most boring thing I'd ever read in my entire life.
That was the consensus of the people in my class who read it.
So, mixed reviews, but if this kind of shows what he can really do, then
it'd be interesting to go back and check out a book.
I'd kind of like to. I mean, he has lots of well-known works.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read, what's the one? Is it actually called On the Slopes of Kilimanjaro, or?
I don't know.
I don't know. It involves a guy dying on a mountain, and it was referenced in Cowboy Bebop, so I thought I should go back and read it sometime.
I just watched all the Best Picture nominees this weekend, and there's a scene in Silver Linings Playbook where Bradley Cooper's character finishes reading A Farewell to Arms, gets pissed off, throws it out a window, and then goes into his parents' room at 3 a.m. and just starts, like, yelling, "Fuck Hemingway." It's pretty awesome.
Oh, boy.
I should also mention he's, like, bipolar in the movie, so...
Right, right.
That is neither here nor there.
Right.
Back to the short story. I just wanted to talk about what we think the Hills Like White Elephants' significance is, since that's what the story is called.
Yeah. So, It's I haven't been able to get too far into this. I'm assuming it doesn't involve a wacky tongue-in-cheek gift exchange.
No. And one thing I kind of thought of, play on words, was she says they look like elephants and refusing to talk about the elephant in the room.
Right.
Which is the babby. The internet told me that she's imagining, like, holding a baby to her breast, which could kind of look like white mountains.
I guess.
Yeah.
Mostly, as far as I got with it, was, okay, here's one thing that looks like another thing. So maybe it's just a clue to look for metaphor.
Yeah. Well, and she kind of says it as a joke, because then she says, well, they don't really. And then she says, if I get this done and I say the hills like look like white elephants, will you love, like, be saying those things? Like, will you think that's funny again, basically?
Yeah.
Like, almost like she was trying to lighten the mood or point something out that's kind of quirky, and he's just not willing to go there.
He's a man of action. He wants to get this done.
Yeah. He's pretty one-track minded.
He wants to get it done and over with.
Yep.
What else do you want
to
hit?
Oh, there's just one more thing I wanted to point out. Because there are a couple paragraphs of brief description.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jig, the woman, goes up and looks at the landscape beyond, there's like a river, but then it kind of goes onto this barren landscape. Like, it goes from, like, the mountains and the river and the trees and everything to kind of this more barren area. And so it's kind of helping drive this theme of fertility home to you.
Right.
Like, is she going from fertility, where she's pregnant, to the barren landscape, where she's gonna get rid of the baby? So there's kind of that nature echoing her biology. It's kind of an interesting...
I think...
Parallel?
I could see that.
Yeah.
This is clearly a loaded story, so this is, you know, a lot of the more literary stuff, I think, people sometimes try too hard to pull it out of a novel-length work.
Uh-huh.
Because I think in a novel, when the author wants you to know something, they, generally speaking, let you know it, or at least make enough references to it, if obliquely, that you understand what's going on, whereas in a short story, I think you might just drop in one small hint and let it go.
Uh-huh.
Especially in something this length, because if someone got to the end and went, wait, what's going on? They could reread it easily. Same sitting, it would take you 5 minutes to read it twice.
Yeah, and you know how each sentence is supposed to develop the plot or reveal character? Talking about writers' tips on writing, Vonnegut said that. And in a story that's, what, 900 odd words long, every word is going to be advancing this idea somehow.
Right.
So pulling a thematic element out of a paragraph isn't really going too crazy, I don't think.
Yeah. And so, I guess, do you have any comments or questions? Before we wrap up?
Well, if she's not actually going to get an abortion, she probably shouldn't drink, like, 3 beers and a shot of liquor in, like, 30 minutes.
I was going to bring that up. It's like, they're doing a lot of drinking for someone who's not sure if she wants to keep that baby. So maybe you should decide before you start drinking heavily.
Although Hemingway, I think, was a heavy drinker, so maybe he was just like, yeah, whatever.
His characters do tend to drink a lot. In fairness.
And... I don't know, I feel like not drinking when you're pregnant is more of a modern thing.
I think you're right. I
don't think people worried about it.
I'm pretty sure I've read things that kind of cast doubt on whether it's even that bad if you're not doing it at an extreme level. Just because so many people did used to do it.
Yeah, one of my pregnant friends told me, her doctor said, stay away from alcohol during the first trimester, because that's when most of the formative stuff is happening.
Mm.
And then if you have a beer or a glass of wine every couple of days or once a week or whatever the proper amount is,
right,
then you're not really hurting anything.
Well, there you go. Gosh, I think I might be pretty close to dried out. I'm sure I could probably go more if I had some sparks, but short story, short episode. That's all we need, right?
Yeah. All right. I mean, there's not really a whole lot more to talk about. But if any of you have read this, it takes, you know, 5 minutes or less, and have any further ponderings on the questions that I posed, please let us know.
Yeah, or if you have your own questions that you'd like to be addressed, we could spend, you know, half the length of this episode addressing it at the beginning of the next full one.
Yeah, that's true.
So, if you have anything to say on the matter, then, you know, you can leave a comment on the website, novelideaspodcast.com.
You can tweet us at novelideaspod.
There is an email address, if you feel like it, novelideaspodcast@gmail.com.
And we are easily findable on iTunes.
Hooray!
next week, we are discussing Doomsday Book by Connie Willis.
Yes, indeed. Enjoying it so far.
Sci-fi.
Yep. Time travel / history.
Yeah. I'm digging it too, actually.
Yeah. and so that should be fun.
Considerably longer discussion.
Yes. What the heck? What are you reading right now?
Nothing new.
Nothing new. Just working on Doomsday Book. Yeah. Fair enough. I'm still working on Freakonomics as I chew my way through Doomsday Book, so I guess nothing new for me. Shouldn't have brought it up. Now we sound dumb.
Go watch all the 9 Best Picture Oscar nominees so I can talk to you about them. That's my recommendation.
I think I've seen 0 of them so far. So anyway, I guess that'll be all for this week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.